Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. Well, another crazy week worldwide, but also in the United States. So I'm going to start talking tonight about, I'm going to address what I call chaos and confusion, or confusion and chaos, as it exists here in the United States and as it exists at the present time in Italy. Let's start with the Congress of the United States and the Republican Party. They're having trouble electing a speaker. There is chaos and confusion. I'm not even going to outline it for you and describe it for you. You all know what's been going on the past 2 weeks. They cannot even appoint or designate a leader for themselves because the members of the House of Representatives can't agree. There are too many factions, which is another reason why in the last 4 years, the fewest number of bills ever passed by the House of Representatives occurred, dramatically less than have ever been passed in any previous congressional administrations, all right? Because they can't agree on what's proper legislation or not amongst themselves at a time when they control the entire Congress. They control the House of Representatives and the Senate of the United States. And here's what I say about this. I say that a political party that cannot govern itself, how can it govern a country? Yes, how can the Republican Party that at the present time cannot govern itself, how can it govern a country? Which brings me now to Rome, Italy. And I'm going to talk about the Catholic Church because there is chaos and confusion in Rome at the present time. There is a synod going on in Rome right now, the Catholic Church Synod of Bishops. This is a legislative gathering of hundreds of bishops from all over the world. It's the second consecutive one that Pope Francis has called, one last year and one this year. And this is a big deal because there are tons of problems confronting the Catholic Church that have not been addressed universally by the Church, my God, for 30 or 40 years, all right? Well, in the synod, where the bishops speak and argue and everything else, this is about a 12-day event, there's a war going on. There is a war going on. It has been described in reports as chaos and confusion, not my verbiage, also been described as an uncertain conclusion in the making, unfair manipulation of procedures, and some phrases uttered by the bishops themselves were reported to be, and I quote, unprintable. That's how heavy things have gotten in the synod. The purpose of the synod, this meeting called by Pope Francis, is to improve, that's a key word, improve the church's position as to issues surrounding marriage and the family. Marriage and the family. You got same-sex marriage now. You have homosexual issues. You still have abortion. You still have birth control. All these issues are out there. Divorced Catholics, can they receive the sacraments? These issues are there, and they haven't been dealt with, as a result of which Catholic churches in this country are basically empty. Okay, parishes have had to close down. The church, and I'm a Catholic, the church themselves, I'm a fallen away Catholic, had forced their own members away from the church by their arbitrary hard-ass attitude. You know, the United States is governed by the Constitution, and we run into trouble in interpreting the words of the Constitution. And we end up in the Supreme Court with 5-4 decisions. Okay, well, the Catholic Church is guided by the Bible, the Word of God, the purported Word of God. But, you know, just as the Constitution may not say something specifically, the Bible doesn't either, which means that the words in the Bible, Jesus' words, have to be interpreted. And this is man interpreting Jesus' words, not God, okay? And when that happens, there can be mistakes, there can be error. Well, the bishops don't want to admit any error. what they've basically been doing, most of them, they say is correct. We got to stay hard ass. We can't give in to the complaints of modern day society, so to speak. Well, the opposition and the bishop, I'll tell you, Pope Francis is facing up to this turmoil in this fight. He's saying, we're going to deal with this, friends. He tried to deal with it last year and they didn't go with him. He's back again, all right? And it is said that Pope Francis's pontificate, that means his term in office, is in grave danger of totally unraveling. I don't understand this. They say the Pope can be brought down. Now, let me tell you something. When they elected him Pope, these cardinals had to have some kind of divine inspiration. He was not even in the running, Francis, to become Pope. Oh, he was out there mentioned in 10th or 12th place. No one expected him to end up Pope. And they weren't tied. They didn't have that many votes for Pope. All of a sudden, Francis is Pope. Why? Did God motivate him? Did these cardinals think that he was the right man in today's society to bring the church into the 21st century? To do God's will, God's way in the 21st century. I think the problem is this. Francis wants to think outside the box. This is hard for the bishops to do. The bishops say that the word of God has no flexibility. They say the dogma of the church, which is man's interpretation, which may have been on the books since 400 AD, is not flexible. So, my friends, we have confusion and chaos in the Catholic Church, specifically at the synod taking place in Rome at the present time. Next, let's talk about Detroit and the Ford Motor Company. Henry Ford, you know, he made the Ford automobile. He built a plant in Detroit. And the Ford family over the years, the whole automobile industry, whether it's Ford or some other car, the other make, they prospered in Detroit, and Detroit prospered. But along the way, okay, these companies have left Detroit. That's why Detroit went into bankruptcy recently. They just deserted Detroit. All you've got is one big ghetto in Detroit. Detroit is a major ghetto today. It isn't what it was 30, 40 years ago. And where did they go, these car companies? A lot of them went to China. Some are in Europe. A lot are in Mexico and in Africa. Well, here's what's happening with China, okay? Ford, and let me put it this way. Detroit is dying or is dead, okay? And, well, Detroit has been dying. Ford has been prospering and turning its back on Detroit. Ford presently has 10 manufacturing facilities in China. That's 10 plants in China that should have been in the United States. But under NAFTA and other things that Clinton did and the Bushes did, we made it easy for corporate America to take their business to Europe and to Asia, to South America and to Mexico. And by so doing, we screwed ourselves. Because whereas our people in those plants were making $25, $35, $45 an hour, and they can't even get a job today, most of them, these Ford would go over to China, and they're paying what, a dollar and a half an hour if they're paying that much to the Chinese employees? So Ford built, they already have 10 manufacturing facilities in China, and they want to add on more because the intent of Ford, as said by Ford, is to build cars, especially for the Chinese people. It used to be we made a car in Detroit, and it could be sold all over the world. They don't want to do it that way anymore. None of the car manufacturers. They want to build vehicles specific to what the requirements and needs of the people are in a specific area. Makes sense. But it is not helping Detroit, and it's not helping the United States. Now, what else is happening with Ford in China? They just announced that they're going to build in Nanjing. They're spending $1.8 billion to develop a facility to examine and invent technologies that are specifically required by Chinese drivers. $1.8 billion. All right. They also, okay, have are opening a second plant in Nanjing. Nanjing must have a lot of drag. And this is for to utilize as a vehicle test center. All right. And this past April, Ford announced that they're also building a $1.1 billion plant manufacturing facility in the northeast part of China. Okay? I don't know. This isn't good. And you got to understand, Ford prospered here in this country. It made a lot of the Ford family multi-billionaires, not even millionaires. It made a lot of other people millionaires and billionaires who were not Ford people. Now, Ford says they got to do this. Their sales have dropped off. Their sales in China have dropped off dramatically. To date, this year alone, they've only sold over 700,000 cars. Normally, it'd be over 1.1 million at this time. So they feel justified in doing what they're doing. What am I saying? Detroit is dying or Detroit is dead. Ford is investing billions in China. A reason why Detroit died is because motor vehicle manufacturing companies went to Asia to manufacture products, thereby taking the good jobs from the USA and bringing them to China. For shame, Ford Motor Company. Little levity now. A little levity today. Do you know what today is? Today is National No Bra Day. You heard me. National No Bra Day. Now, we have a day for everything, so why not a No Bra Day? This is not the first time. This is the third annual National No Bra Day, okay? And basically, it's what it says. Women who run this event are encouraging other women to take their bras off. This isn't a feminine movement. They're just saying bras are uncomfortable. You know, they give us lines, they pull. Why even wear them? Take them off, relax. Now, women who are supporting this day say, and I'm going to say it specifically, and I quote, celebrate without restraint. Remove your bra. Celebrate without restraint. The other thing they say, and these are their words that I'm quoting, and I quote, ladies, unleash your boobies from the booby school. Well, men have been asked to support this event, not by taking their shirts off and walking around with their breasts showing, but by wearing purple today. So to the men who are listening in, did you wear purple? You want to know something? I forgot to wear purple. I doubt that I would have worn purple had I remembered. I don't know. I view this going braless. This is a female thing. If you're uncomfortable, don't do it. If a man can't wear jockey shorts, he goes to boxer shorts. The jockey shorts are uncomfortable. As far as I'm concerned, going braless is another commando choice situation, a commando choice situation. It is a personal one. Women should do whatever they want. Now we're going to talk about Playboy and nude pictures and photographs in Playboy. Playboy has been part of the American pop culture since 1953. I remember 1953, I was a freshman in college. I remember when Playboy came out with the first centerfold of a totally nude woman. It blew us all out. I want to tell you something. Those magazines went all over my dorm. Everybody wanted to see it. It was a big deal. We didn't have the opportunity to see nude women back then. And this is, guys like to look at nude women. I don't know if women like to look at nude men, but men like to look at nude women. This was a gigantic, big deal. We didn't have the internet. Now today we've got the internet, and men can go bing, 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 hit a few keys, and they're seeing all kinds of nudity, which means that people aren't buying Playboy, because they don't care about seeing the nudes anymore. They've got the internet. So it was announced this past week that Playboy is redesigning its magazine. And as of next March, effective March, they will still feature provocative poses, but no longer fully nude. The women will wear attire to some degree or total attire. Again, the internet porn killed the nude magazine business. Playboy, in 1975, sold 5.6 million copies of its magazine. Last year, 800,000. They had to make a change. Hugh Hefner, founder of Playboy. He's still alive, 89 years old. He's living in the Playboy mansion. I don't know how physically fit he is, but he still functions as editor-in-chief of Playboy, and he has been one of the moving forces in designing this change. I'm going to stay one moment further with sex, because sex comes into these things somehow. It's involved in our life. It has been announced. I talked about this at the end of my show last week, but I didn't have enough time. I ran through it quickly. I want to go through it slowly. Humanoids. What is a humanoid? It's a robot. It's a new type robot. But it's different than the other mechanical robots. This robot is designed to have feelings and emotions. This is the first time a robot will have feelings and emotions. Now, the question has been raised. Will the humanoids function also as a sex partner? Some say yes. The company says no. I say time will tell. Whatever happens, they aren't out on the market yet, but when they come out, they will be available for $2,000. We had a situation here in Key West 2 weeks ago where it was announced there was a crocodile at Smathers Beach. Now, Smathers Beach is one of our two prime beach areas in Key West. And this crocodile was on a rock, and he was very close to shore. And they showed a picture of this crocodile. And to me, he looked humongous. This was big. To me, it was 8-10 feet. That's what it looked like. You know, big mouth and all that sort of thing. And it was sitting on a rock. Over the course of the next 2 days, there were several other pictures, both in the Key West Citizen, our local newspaper, and on the internet. And all these pictures made it look like this thing was big, this crocodile. And this crocodile, by the way, was within 5 feet of the shore. It was ambling along. And turns out the croc was only 3 or 4 feet long, the mouth area only 10 feet long. I don't care how big or how small. I wouldn't go swimming at Smathers Beach. I wouldn't take my grandchildren, who like to swim every weekend, to Smathers Beach. But yet, the state animal authorities and the local county animal authorities said, don't worry. Crocodiles won't bother you. They're afraid of you. They get along well with people, with humans. Alligators don't, but crocs are different, so don't worry about this croc. And they said within a matter of a few days, the croc will probably move off because they don't stay in any one place too long. All right. Well, the croc did move off. I don't know where it went, but it's gone. Now I find out, I was reading on this, I came across something on the internet this week that, I got to tell you this, in West Africa, in Ghana, and in certain other African countries, people go swimming with crocodiles. Women wash clothes in the water with the crocodiles right next to them. Children go swimming next to and with crocodiles. And in Ghana, no human person has ever been hurt, has ever been bitten by a crocodile. It is considered an historical fact that the crocs have not bothered human beings in Ghana. The crocs are also a protected species over there as they are in this country. And it is said that the crocs over in Africa, and especially in Ghana and that area, are non-aggressive, calm. They're a tourist attraction in Ghana, okay? And I don't understand this. They give the people live chickens, the tourists. The tourists take the live chicken and put it towards the croc's mouth. The croc opens the mouth and bites the chicken and takes it away. But if you put your hand out, the croc won't bite you. Now, this is a pretty smart crocodile. These crocodiles have to be smart. I ain't putting my hand out there with a chicken for nobody. But no one's lost a hand yet. And it's also said in Ghana that a crocodile, this is interesting, is as easy to train as a dog. A crocodile is as easy to train as a dog. Now we go to Thailand. They have crocodiles too. Crocodiles are all over the world. And in Thailand, this is terrible what I'm going to share with you, but this is what's reported. There is another tourist attraction. Apparently people like to see crocodiles doing things, where tourists or people working at the facility would put their heads in a crocodile's open mouth, considered safe. Nothing ever happened to anyone, with one exception. In 2012, a caretaker, a woman, who had worked at this facility with these crocodiles for 30 years, had her head snapped off. You do what you want when it comes to crocodiles. Swim with them or don't swim with them at your own risk. Where are we going now? This blows me out. The Environmental Protection Agency. I was an environmental attorney for more than half of my legal career, the last 25 to 30 years. That's all I did. I did it all over this country. I did it in some other countries internationally. I was a hotshot. I was good at what I did. I don't think I did good things. I represented the primary polluter all the time, the corporation that was dumping all kinds of crap where it shouldn't over the years, all right? My job was to protect them when someone came after them. And it really, in the end, I did something good. I never felt guilty about this, is that whatever my company or my client did after they were caught or charged ended up in the problem being cleaned up. It may have taken 5 to 10 years to arrive at this point and would have taken another 30 years to complete the cleanup, but it was all put in process and the big work was started and big dollars expended, et cetera, et cetera. And that was what the EPA was about. Clean air, clean water in this country. Hard to deal with. I'm going to tell you this. Every time I had to go before the EPA, it's like I was fighting with my hands tied. These attorneys at the EPA, they knew they had the law on their side, and all they cared about, clean air, clean water, clean it up, don't tell me your problems. And it was a tough job. You know, my job was to keep the costs down to the cleanup. We had to come up with new ways to clean up that would be cheaper but just as effective as the more expensive way. Okay, now, why am I sharing all this with you? Because what's been happening with the EPA in the last 10 years does not make sense to me. It has been reported that in the last 10 years, the EPA has spent $75 million a year, that's $750 million over 10 years, okay, on military weapons. Now, why the hell do they need military weapons? There are now 200 special agents, quote-unquote special agents. They're not the investigative types like I dealt with. These are a handful of people. I'm not sure what they got to do, though. I couldn't figure it out. And the EPA has purchased guns, body armor, camouflage equipment, unmanned aircraft, amphibious assault ships, okay, radar and night vision gear, okay, for these special agents. Now, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me why they need this stuff. And if you recall and you think for a moment, our government, the government of the United States, has all of its major agencies now equipped with all kinds of military equipment, just as local police departments have been equipped with military equipment, so too have the various agencies of the government, even though they don't directly get involved with any kind of problem. I mean, even though billions or millions or billions of dollars were involved in cases I handled, nobody was going to shoot me in the head. I never had that problem. We were fighting over big money. We yelled and screamed at each other. But, you know, nobody came in with the guns and say, you either do this or I'm going to pop you one. So, to me, the federal agencies and the EPA have gone weapons crazy. Our government's gone weapons crazy. They should not be arming themselves in this fashion. And it's overload. And it scares me. I think our government is worrying about the day comes the revolution, because people in this country are crazy today. We can't argue that point. Half the people in this country, I think, are crazy. You got people who like to carry guns. They got to defend themselves. They want guns in schools. So a student, a college student, can pull a gun out if someone comes in shooting at them. Where are we living? In the Old West? All right? It's just out of control. And they're afraid that these people who think this way, the NRA way, and I think they're wrong. I definitely think they're wrong. But they're at some point going to revolt and try to take over the government, and then the government will have to defend itself. Abraham Lincoln, great president, maybe the greatest president this country has ever had. Well, he was a licensed bartender. Now, why do I share this with you, that he was a bartender and he was licensed? Because back in his day, and we're going back not to 1860-61 when he was elected, we're going back to 1833 when he was 22 years old, and he was a bartender, and he had to be licensed in Illinois. Illinois would not permit you to be a bartender unless you had a license. Here's how it worked. Now, understand, again, before Lincoln was president, before he was a lawyer, he was a bartender, okay? And he was the only president that's ever been a licensed bartender. In January 1833, he and a fellow by the name of Berry, B-E-R-R-Y, last name, opened a store, okay, in New Salem, Illinois. And Lincoln's 22 again. And they also had a tavern as part of it. And if you had a store that sold some food, sold clothing, et cetera, and you had a bar that sold booze to either drink it in or take it out, the place, it was a tavern also, it had to have a liquor license. And as a result, the employees would be licensed. Berry took out the license in his own name. It applied to Lincoln also, cost $7. Well, Berry was a drunk. Apparently, Lincoln didn't know this in January 1833. And within 3 months, the business was in big-time debt, primarily because of Berry's drinking. Lincoln may have contributed to it, though what I read did not share that with me. It said that Lincoln, instead of spending time selling booze or stuff, was spending his time reading and chatting with the customers. Anyhow, 3 months later, in April 1833, Lincoln sold his interest in the business to Berry, and that was it. 2 years later, in 1835, Berry died, okay? Berry died. And when Berry died, he left that business in deep debt. Lincoln, this shows the quality of the man. Lincoln, being the man who he was, told all the creditors, I will personally pay the debts of the store of Berry, even though they are not my legal responsibility because I got out of the business 2 years earlier. I legally assume all those debts. It may take me time to pay them all, but I promise you I will pay them. And the debts that he was not obligated to pay took Lincoln to 1848, 13 years to pay off. A little side point on this. A store that sold clothing, food, was a store. If the store sold liquor, it was known as a grocery store. Yes, a grocery store. Could it be that's where the term came from? I couldn't figure this out either. The term grocery store came from for grocery stores, as we understand, on a street corner. Well, that's the show for this week. Hope you have enjoyed. And when you're done listening to me tonight, go watch the Democratic debate, which has been going on for a half hour already. This show is archived. I know many of you listen to the archived version on Block Talk Radio and YouTube. And as of tomorrow morning, it will be linked to my Key West Lou website, keywestlou.com. I wrote a book, The World Upside Down. It's like the show, the things I talk about in the book. You like the show, buy my book. You don't like the show, don't buy the book. It's been pleasant speaking with you again this evening. I look forward to being with you next week. Good night, my friends.